Hey, the service is a little bit different, but it's going to be awesome anyway. Why don't we bring up our youngest missionaries, Don Urquhart and Beverly Urquhart. They're going to start us off here today, and we're going to talk to them. And you guys like hearing that, you youngest. You guys are young, and right?
Yeah.
How are you? Yeah, Don shook my hand and goes, I'll get you for that one. He really means it because Don is that way. You guys don't know Don. He really is, but you're going to get to know him. Hey, it's good to have you guys here today. So tell us a little bit about who you are. Oh, you got to turn that on too, as a matter of fact. Yeah, that's a special adult-proof one. You got it?
Okay.
Hey, got it?
Is
it
I think on? So.
There you go. So tell us about, first of all, who you guys are, because I want them to know you personally.
We're Don and Bev Urquhart, and we're missionaries from River Lakes Church here. We've been living in Bakersfield close to 30 years, not quite. And we have two children, David, who was here at the Global Missions time, and then our daughter lives up in Fresno. We have four grandchildren, so we're pretty excited. 4.5.
Do you remember their names?
Yeah.
Names?
Gavin, Logan, Ethan, and Reed.
Yeah, that's awesome. See, you have to look and count. Yeah, that's awesome, man.
You want to say anything? Nope. Okay.
I guess we said we're on staff with CRU, Campus Crusade for Christ, and we worked with Campus Crusade for 40 years, and we've worked in various capacities, and right now we're working with international students at CSUB and BC.
Could you back up, and you said you worked for Campus Crusade for how many years?
40.
We started at 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a privilege to be here.
So how did you guys meet? Do you remember?
Through Campus Crusade. There was a girl that needed help on a paper, and I volunteered, and that's where it started. In front of the library at Cal State Long Beach.
You remember that?
Oh, man. Best day of my life.
That's awesome. Hey, tell me, what do you guys do at Bridges? What do you do?
Well, there's two things. We're regional leaders for California, Arizona, Hawaii, and Nevada, trying to get more Bridges clubs started on universities. And that's the regional responsibilities we have. Locally, we're working, as Bev said, at Cal State and at BC with international students. And that's the local part of what we do here that we're talking about today.
Yeah, so what we do is we go on campus and meet students. We have a variety of ways to do that. One is the talk time conversation, where once a week we go on campus and we have prepared conversation pieces. We talk about holidays and different topics, friendships, and so forth. And the two greatest needs of the international student, one is to make an American friend.
Wow.
They really want to make an American friend. And the second is to work on their English.
Now, I'm glad you said that because I'm still working on my English. And just, I know. And
we know that.
I know. And the thought of working with someone speaking a different language, is that challenging? Do we have to worry about that?
Well, you don't need to be an English teacher. Basically, what they really want is practice just speaking and having conversations. So your conversation is really what they're trying to beef up on because they want to pass a test to get admitted into school, into a university.
Oh.
And that's part of the drive is to meet and connect and speak with English speakers, with American speakers.
So we have Japanese and Chinese and international students coming here to learn English. So they can get in school.
So they get in school and they get their degree and go back. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, we have students from all over the world. The largest group right now are people from Saudi Arabia. Their government, the king, is very generous, and he is sponsoring, giving them scholarships to study here. So I think we've heard the number that in the United States there's 75,000.
Wow.
And this program ends maybe around 2020. Depends on if they run out of oil or whatever. But, so they are a people group that we could not go into their country and just naturally share Jesus Christ with them. So we feel very privileged, very humble that they are here and we have that opportunity. But yeah, there's people from all over the world studying in Bakersfield.
That's amazing.
We always ask them, why did you come here? So it's fun. There are different answers.
Bakersfield is the Hawaii of the East, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's about the cheapest place in California, which for a lot of them is really important, but they can connect without too much difficulty to a lot of really neat places. So that's what we're excited about. I think the other thing that's exciting, you know, when we're talking about local outreach, we're kind of a hybrid because we interact with international. And for many of these students, they either come to faith or they're very impressed with Christians. And they go back home and start sharing that with their neighbors and friends in their own language. And it's really exciting to know that when you have these internationals in your home, you're making a difference that will impact people in other countries around the world simply because of the relationship and the love you show and the fact you have them in their home. You take time with them and you listen to them. And their opinions of Christians, which have been shaped primarily by the media, which isn't good, is changed when they come here and they see the love and the care that people show, especially in our community. And we're so grateful because we've had people from this church involved with us, and it makes a big difference in students' lives when they go back home.
That's awesome. And it goes right to the next question. How can we here at River Lakes be involved, continue to be involved in Bridges?
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
By the way, I love that name, Bridges.
Do you? Good.
Yeah, I'm afraid of heights, though, but I like Bridges.
Okay, good. So. You can always hold on to something. Okay.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of different ways that we can reach out to the students. And each one of these, I guess I want to just share the bottom line, is that it gives us a bridge, a platform, that we can share the gospel with them. So we welcoming the student. Welcoming them means maybe just picking them up at our local airport, the shuttle bus, taking them maybe to Walmart or Target to get their basic needs. They will either move into a dorm or an apartment. And so to help them get settled in, their cell phones, their banking, everything, it just, you know, putting yourself in their shoes where you go to another country and you don't know the language and you don't know where to start. So it's very impactful when you touch their lives in just these simple ways. And then the talk time, I've already talked about the conversation, 1 hour every Tuesday, starting in January. And then I would say food is another one. We have once a month a dinner. We have a dinner for, like, in December. We'll have a Christmas dinner. And every month we have a special dinner. So if you'd like to cook something, maybe just a potato casserole or whatever, that would be helpful. And, I think those would be – we have a lot more that you could sign up for. Oh, the other one was to – set another plate at your table for dinner. Many of these students come here and they do not get invited into an American home. That is really a sad thing. And we just really would like to have the church be reaching out to them. They will ask us, not just Don and I, but people that are working with us. We have about 10 people that are really faithful core people from River Lakes, but we have people from Laurel Glen Church and others that are involved. But they will ask us, why are you so nice? They're blown away by that. And we'll just say the love of Jesus Christ we know in our lives, and we love to share him with others. So, you know, and then there's another platform and another platform to share the gospel. So it's just really great.
I guess the other thing just to highlight on this is that the things that they desperately need are the things that each person in this audience is well equipped in. They want to speak English. You can do that. They don't understand the system, American system. You know, where do I shop and it's cheap? You know, how do I use my cell phone? How do I set that up? That kind of stuff most of you have had experience doing. And the third thing is that they're lonely. They've left their friends, their family, and they don't have relationships here. And to have someone to connect with and maybe a bridge into other relationships or things that they really need. So really, all of you are highly qualified just sitting there, and that's essentially what a lot of a volunteer does and provides to them that is so meaningful to these students.
So I don't know how long this is going to go. You never know with Angelo. But
that's true.
For
what my wife says, too. You never know. So.
We for sure want to say thank you to River Lakes for faithful support. Like we said, we've lived here going on 30, but around closer to 27. But anyway, just for your faithful support, for your involvement, it could not happen without you. So we want to be sure to say thank you.
Amen. Has this been beneficial to help you get to know Don and Bev Rukai? Amen. Let's pray for them. Lord, we just, first of all, thank you for who you are. And we thank you for just the ministry of Bridges and what that means. And have international students coming here and desiring to learn English. And yet in exchange for that, we can share the gospel with them. Lord, how cool is that? You brought these families, these people from miles away so that they could hear the gospel. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for Bev and Don. And Lord, we ask you to give them 40 more years together and 40 more years in ministry. And then we'll ask for another 40 after that. We thank you for them. We ask for help for them as they grow and their families who are serving also in the kingdom. And we just thank you today that you brought them here. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I say that. They are really the youngest missionaries we have, so that's awesome. Hey, let's bring up Mr. Dave Washburn. Dave Washburn. As one former sports athletic person to another really former sports athletic person, I could still take you. I just need to say that. I need to say that. Okay. All right. Now we can continue.
I'm too old to fight.
So, Mr. Washburn, take for granted no one out there knows you, never seen you, never seen your family, don't know anything about you. Tell us about you.
Well, first, hi. I'm Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I love him. So that's number one. The next on the list would be I've been married for 23 years to my wife, Suzanne, and I have three awesome daughters. You guys get to stand up now and turn around and wave. Let's see. I like tri-tip. I like 80s rock music. I'm a former athlete.
Wait. About 80s rock music.
I know.
Go ahead and name them.
You have to ask.
Yeah, I do. Come on, say it.
He asked my favorite band, and I said Van Halen and sometimes Metallica. But I said I could still like that, but I still love Jesus. So I grew up in the 80s. I graduated high school in 85, and music was a big part of my life, and it still is today. So I do enjoy stuff, yeah.
And so you played a little football?
I did. I played guard and nose guard at Azusa Pacific University and was also a wedge buster.
I don't know what any of that means. What's nose guard? Was that you clean your nose, pick your nose, or what?
No.
No, you weren't.
No, I was in the center of the line, basically, and trying to push people out of the way and hit people. And the wedge buster was the funnest. If you guys watch football today, on a kickoff, I stood right next to the kicker. And my job was to run as fast as I could. And when I saw three guys together, I would try to wipe them out with my head. So it was a lot of fun. I don't remember some things, but it was a lot of fun.
That explains this.
That,
right?
That honestly was my favorite part of football, just trying to wipe people out. So it was fun. Wow. Yeah.
Tell me about what you... He's serious about that, too. He took out a lot of people in his day. FCA, what do you do, a typical day at FCA? What do you do?
It's a complex thing. We have slides up. We do a lot. Right now, there's 17 high schools that have an FCA on their campus, so I oversee that. But we do that. Huddles don't exist. That's what we call them. Huddles don't exist unless we have a coach and we have some student leaders that want to run it. So we rely heavily on the coach, parent volunteers, and the students that want to lead. If you see up there, in 2005 when we started, I was at North High School working part-time for FCA, and we had three schools. And now 2015, these are the ministries we're involved in now. So it's been great to see. But I'm involved in a camp ministry. We partner with Hume Lakes, probably our biggest camp. We had over 1,400 athletes come to Hume and partner with us doing football camps. These are public high schools that come up, and we had 30 throughout the Central Valley. We run a camp at UC Davis and at UCLA, and we also do the campus ministry. And then I lead coaches' Bible studies as well. I think there's three coaches' Bible studies going on right now. Right now on Wednesdays at J&M's, we're going through a book called Facing Your Giants. It's basically the story, the study of David's life. And we just got done reading the Bible. We read the whole New Testament about 2 years ago, verse by verse, and now we're in the middle of the Old Testament, verse by verse, and we stopped at Psalms. So we're recounting David's life, and then we'll pick it up again. Wow. But, we do a lot of stuff. But on one side of things, normally we don't get to talk about too much with the coach. I've been able to counsel coaches that have been going through divorce, some that have been addicted to pornography or have had affairs. We deal a lot with coaches that are getting fired or they've got some issues with the administration and they're taking the heat from the parents. If you guys can, when you go by a high school, pray for the coaches. They sacrifice a lot to pour into kids, and sometimes their cup is almost empty and they come home and they don't have a whole lot left. So we try to help when we can and minister to them, and I love spending time with those guys.
Amen. And so how can we here at River Lakes be involved at Fellowship of Christian Athletes? What can we do? You can.
Well, first before I get started, number one is pray. Mm-hmm. We had a speaker here a long time ago when I was just getting involved in the ministry, and he challenged everybody to pray at stoplights. Well, I want to challenge you. When you pass a school, pray for the coaches and the athletes there, and pray for FCA, pray for me, that we might have a foot in that door, that we might be able to share the gospel with them. I do want to say one word of thanks to this body and this church. You guys launched me into ministry 10 years ago, and you're the largest supporter that we have, which is rare in FCA. Churches normally don't fund FCA as much as people would think. So a great thanks to you for that. And then the second thing of thanks is when you guys give to the missionary offering, it goes a long way, not just with me as a missionary, but the other missionaries that you give to. Me specifically, I'm a type 1 diabetic, and I want to let you know that your gift in that really helps pay a lot of my medical expenses that come with being a diabetic. So I greatly appreciate that, and I'm humbled every time we receive that from the body. There's been times that we've received some things, and I called my wife, and I said, you'll never guess what just happened, and we're amazed at the giving hearts that you guys have, so we're grateful for that. So thank you. He asked me how you guys can get involved. I did want to have a second to go back to what we do with FCA. Yeah. We get to take Jesus Christ into the public schools through this ministry. This year alone, I've been able to share the gospel message four times, and it goes on in other schools. But the four schools that I've been in, I've been able to share my testimony, and I've been able to share the gospel. And we've seen 45 kids, just in the ones I've been on, 45 kids raise their hand and say, I want to know Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. 45 so far. That's just the schools I've been at. Liberty this year, 21 kids received Christ at Liberty's FCA.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah.
So we bring the gospel to a place where the government and a lot of people say, you can't, but we do. And we've given out 30,000 Bibles and distributed them to public high school kids through our camps and the campus ministries. So how you can get involved is, number one, we said pray. You saw how many schools we have. We saw the ministry growing. There's me full-time, and we have another guy part-time who works in special ed at BMAT High School, and he runs our tech, basically, and does all our social media, and that's it. So pray that we can get some more staff on board, and that's a hard thing sometimes because our target of who we want to hire would be that 25 to 30-year-old coming out of college or a younger, so they can go in and work in the high schools. But it's hard when you say you want to work for FCA and they say yeah, and you say, well, good, go raise your salary and then you can come on staff with us. So it's a hard thing to do. So this year, the second part is we would ask you to, in your prayer about being involved with FCA financially. That's a big question, a big thing that we always have to talk about. We don't like to, but ministry doesn't happen without financial and prayer support. So if you've never given before to any ministry, whether it's mine or someone else, just pray and see what God would have you do, because even a dollar a day And all these ministries you're going to hear about goes a long way for the kingdom. And you can partner with us, and you can be an active partner, even just by supporting us financially. So just pray about that. And then the third part is, if you have a student that's in a high school and you want to get involved at that high school with FCA, if they don't have an FCA, contact me and we can talk to you about how to get that started. If they do have an FCA, I ask you to go and approach the FCA coach and ask them how you can help, how you can get involved, whether it's buying pizzas for one of the FCA meetings or water, or even just calling that coach and say, hey, how can I pray for you and your family? That goes a long way, too. So there's some other ways you can get involved, but come see me out at the booth and love to talk to you.
Can you touch on the Bibles again, the importance of Bibles?
Yeah, we give out, like I said, we've given out 30,000 Bibles so far. My goal, 30,000.
Yeah. Come on, 30,000. 30, it just got to roll past that.
Yeah, just rolling past 30,000 Bibles. It's amazing. And if you want to put a dollar amount to that, it's $300,000. But the reason why I'm so passionate about Bibles is if they never see me again, or they never step foot in a church, and a lot of the kids that come to FCA won't go to church, but they'll go to FCA because it's safe, it's with their athletic peers, and they just cruise in and hear something. But if they never see us again, they have God's word, and that doesn't come back void. So it's some place in their life. And I had a guy, we gave a Bible out to a kid that volunteered for us, wasn't a Christian, came up to a camp, and we gave him a Bible. And 3 years later, he called me. He goes, hey, Coach, I'm at Fresno State now, and I'm leading a Bible study. Can you send us some of your FCA Bibles?
Oh, so, my God.
It's pretty cool awesome. How that works. But we do have a program. We're challenging all the FCA huddles this year on their campuses. We're asking the students to reach out to their coaches at the end of the year and do a coach's appreciation lunch. So my dream is to be able to provide a coach's Bible for every coach that would like one. And the coach's Bible in the back has a devotion for every day of the year written by a coach for a coach. So it's very specific to coaching. So we have 17 high schools, and if you take 20 to 30 coaches per high school, that's how many coaches' Bibles we want to give out this year at the end of the year. So that's my dream. We'll see where God meets us in that, but we're hopeful that we can impact a lot of coaches' lives through that.
That's awesome. Hey, Ken, can we pray for you?
Yes.
Lord, we just, first of all, thank you for who you are. We thank you for Dave, his family, and Lord, the ministry you placed him in. We thank you for FCA and just the light into the darkness. Lord, we pray for the young people in high schools and many, many issues that are going on there, but we praise the Lord that there is hope. The only hope is getting in there through FCA. We thank you for the Bibles and already the fruit, 30,000 so far. And Lord, we just pray for David's family, the ministry that will continue. We pray for our connection and growth, involvement with Dave. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. Our next missionary is Mr. John Begulla. John Begulla, what are you holding in your hand, man?
Soccer ball.
See, if I would have dropped it, you would have laughed. But my cat like responses. Yeah. Anyway, hey, it's good to see you.
Hey, same here.
How are you?
I am doing wonderful.
Why did you give me this?
Because that's how we get the gospel out, is through sports. Fun sports about 11 years ago.
Before you get to fun sports, because yes. That's kind of cool. And you spelled sports right, too. That's right.
I know.
I didn't want to check that. My wife always does that. Check my spelling.
Yes.
Hey, I want to find out who you are first. Well, let's take for a lot of people know you. Okay. Let's say no one knows you.
No one.
You just showed up here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So why don't you just, who are you?
Well, my name is John Begulla. I have a wife of 24 years, Rebecca, and my kids, Jackie, Jenna, and my little guy named Adam. And I'm from New York, and this is a funny story how I got here. My younger years, I was always looking at something here in my profession, which is parks and recreation. So I've dealt with kids for a long time. And I always want this right here. And I kept on reaching for it in my career. And I remember when we came to Bakersfield, something would happen. And God's tapping me on the shoulder like, he always does. And me being an Italian from New York, I said, I got it, God. Don't worry about it. I'll get it done. And then something else happens. And he taps me on the shoulder, and I'm like, God, I've got it. I'm young. I'm from New York. I'm Italian. We're going to do this. And a third time, he took the rug, pulled it right out from underneath my feet. And I remembered when that happened, I said, okay, God. And I went out to a field out here with my Bible, got on my knees. I said, I'm done. I'm done going for what I want. What do you want me to do? I will do whatever you tell me to do. And my God said to me, okay, you're going to do this. And I think that's going to be your question. Next question. And I looked at him and I said, oh, no, 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 no. That's not what I signed up for. He goes, no, you're going to do this for the rest of your life. And here's what you're going to do is our next question, I think.
So what do you do?
What do? I do fun sports.
What do you do?
Fun sports now is 11 years. My first season, I remember, went to a pastor. I said, you know, God told me to start fun sports, to run a youth program and put him first and everything else second. And he looked at me, he goes, okay, so how are you going to do that? I said, well, I guess I got to get like a 501c nonprofit license so I could do this. And he goes, pastor goes to me, you know, it takes about a year. I looked at him a year, I said, you're kidding me. A year? And I just was in June. And I remember he said, let's put the papers in, let's pray over them, and let's see what happens. By July 1st, I got the notice from the government saying that we are a 501c. And that's not even, that's something, you know, when you see something like that, you know it's of God because it takes a lot more. And I have so many stories that I saw God open doors like I wouldn't, you wouldn't believe. And I, of course, I said to him, okay, I'll follow you. And he opens the door and I'm like, wow, this is great. Opens the door and that's great. So what I do is fun sports is a youth sports program that puts God first. And what we do is we start with kids with 3 years old up to 11. And this ministry, what we have is we talk about the verse in the Bible, and then we tell, I tell the kids and whoever's listening, this is what it means to me, and then we pray. We've done that for 11 years, and I remember my wife saying, okay, when we started, she goes, John, I said, okay, if I get 35 kids, I'm happy. Okay, that'll keep me busy. That'll do what I told God I would do. Our first season, we had 135 kids. Wow. Last year, in our backyard right here in River Lakes, we had 1,000 kids.
Wow.
Now, our sports program is not just for Christian kids. It's for people of other faith, no faith, or Christians. So they're hearing the gospel, no matter who it is. Because I've noticed that people will come when you have a soccer ball, basketball, sports program that have no faith. And when they get there, they know by looking at our website, they're going to hear the gospel. And that's okay, because that's how I get it out. And we've been blessed with loudspeakers. Not just the kids hear the verses and hears about God's love. Mm-hmm. It's the parents, the grandparents, and the person that hears me way in the neighborhood hears the gospel and hears what the gospel means and means the love of Jesus in everything we do.
Amen. So then that goes to the next question. How then can we here at River Lakes be involved?
Well, Billy Graham kind of said it really great. He says, one coach will impact more than people will impact Christ for 1 year, because a coach is constantly talking to the kids about the gospel and helping fun sports. I mean, River Lakes opened up their back door. I mean, we're out there on Saturdays for 6 weeks, both fields, a north field and a south field. But what we really need, one of the things we really need is prayer. When you start a sports ministry, you have a target on your back that Satan just wants to knock down. And for the last 11 years, we've had our share of Satan trying to come in and stopping what we're doing. For instance, 1 year, we had our loudspeaker system. I go out there, put it up to my voice. Nothing's coming out. My staff says, okay, there's nothing coming out, John. So I run out there with my Bible. I tell the verse. I pray with the kids. I come back. And the speakers are working again. You know, he'll do whatever. I've noticed he'll do whatever he can to stop this word going out to those kids and parents and adults. He'll do anything, and he's done it. So prayer is really important. My ministry, the other ministries here, you're not kidding. I mean, when you guys pray, we feel it. We do feel you guys' prayers and coaches. That soccer ball, when I have moms or dads that would ask, what could I do? I said, I need coaches. I said, that soccer ball goes into a net, because a lot of parents will say to me, I know nothing about soccer. I know nothing about basketball. I said, well, the orange ball goes in that net, and you have fun with your kids. And we have a basic skills sheet that we brought out, manual that we made to help moms and dads do that because, again, coaches is what we need. I could do everything else in this program, get it squared away, get the equipment out there, get everything I need to get ready, but I can't coach 52 to 60 teams. That's where I need moms or dads or grandmas or grandpas or just anyone that loves kids, and we'll pray with them afterwards. And that's what we need the most.
Amen. And I've been out there a couple of times. There's a lot of kids out there.
Yes. Yeah, we try to serve, again, as many kids as we can, but I'm limited. I mean, I've got River Lakes. I need coaches. I need staff. I need people to help me with the internet, with my words, my books, everything. We have so much needs for this ministry. And I told God I'd do it, and I guess I'm going to do it for the rest of my life. I enjoy it. It's been the greatest 11 years of my life serving God and God only, because I care less what people think of me. As long as the gospel goes out to those kids, those parents, and anyone who's hearing, I'm real happy about it.
And so along with you and Dave and Don Urquhart, you guys will get a chance to meet them outside here at the table, and you have information as well.
We have tons of information about how you can help, about our ministry. Go to our website. We have a list of things from pencils to donations. Being a team sponsor helps tremendously. We don't turn anybody away. A kid wants to play fun sports, I'm there to say, okay, I know God, you wanted me to start this. You're going to get the money to get this kid in, and we get those kids in, and they hear the gospel. And that's what's the most important part of my whole ministry, is the gospel go out to the world.
And just think about that. I don't know if you caught this. 1,000 young people God brought to these grounds. 1,000 young people. And so John is asking for help to the 1,000. Can we get him some help? Amen?
Well, thank you.
Because we at River Lakes, we all love kids, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We know you have kids.
Yeah, we know we are. I didn't say to love their kids. I said we love. Yeah. Yes. Anyway, let's pray for you. Can we do that?
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for John, his ministry, and Lord, we hear the same thing. First of all, a man whose heart is for you first, but yet at the same time crying out for help. And Lord, we just thank you for River Lakes and thank you for what you brought right to our backyard. 1,000 young people looking, searching, wondering. God, we pray that this will be a place that they will get connected, or that they will get connected to a local church. Pray for John and his family and the ministry of Fun Sports, as well as all the missionaries and all the presenters here today, all the ministry leaders outside. And we just, Lord, you bless us with a rich history, a rich environment, fertile environment where we can serve you faithfully. And Lord, we just hope that, again, today this has been an honor to you, allowing us to see what you're doing here in not only River Lakes, but this community. So we ask these things in Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Thank you, John. Amen. Hey, Ken and Chris, the other missionaries, couldn't be here because of family issues that they're dealing with, and you can just pray for them. They're down south. But we videotaped them so you could hear their heart as well for ministries.
Okay, we are Ken and Chris Freck. We first met our senior year at high school in Maryland, and then went to the University of Maryland, and we reconnected at the University of Maryland. And I met Jesus at the University of Maryland my freshman year, and Chris would be her sophomore year at the University of Maryland. We did campus work with Campus Crusade for Christ beginning in 1975, and then we came to Bakersfield to train missionaries, which we started doing that in Los Angeles and migrated to Bakersfield in 1988 and raised our children in Bakersfield. This is a great community and loved being here. So we're a group called Crew Inner City, and we've been doing that since 1997. We work primarily with churches that have a focus on the inner city, and we help pastors and Christians throughout Bakersfield to share their faith and communicate clearly the gospel to people. And we do that in a variety of ways. We do trainings. We also help churches connect with people in their community through compassionate products. For example, Boxes of Love is a great way for laymen in the inner city to meet people in their neighborhoods and to share Christ with them. We do Easter bags at Easter time, bag as goodies for kids and opportunity for children to hear the gospel. And we use the good news bracelet, different colored beads to have a different part of the gospel story. And so we see children go back to school with these beads on, and their friends will ask them, what is this? And these kids have been Christians now for 3 or 4 days, are sharing the gospel with their roommates or classmates at the schools.
And then we would do long-term development, which is working with children in the Say Yes Centers for Youth Development. So it's coming alongside of children and in their families as you're working in churches. And we help the children grow holistically. The goal is that they would be responsible, godly adults that are able to lead and, you know, care and give back to their community as adults. We also do a career development, which is coming alongside adults with barriers and helping them not to get survival jobs, but to know the skills to get into a career path. Mm-hmm.
We developed a new training about 2 or 3 years ago now. We call it 2 Timothy 2:2 Discipleship Training. And it's 8 weeks long and about 2.5 hours a night, once a week for 8 weeks. And the people who participate put together their salvation testimony in about 3 minutes. They can clearly explain how they became a Christian. And in that explanation, explain to a listener how they too could become a member of God's family. And then we teach them how to lead a Bible study by not teaching, per se, but facilitating. So the authority for the Bible study isn't the teacher, it's the Word of God. And so our method of teaching these people is to focus people back to Scripture and to ask questions that would help the participants focus on Scripture for the answers. And so the authority is Scripture. And that's been really rewarding. And we're seeing many laymen in Bakersfield starting Bible studies throughout the city, and they're facilitating a discussion based on the Word of God and people making discoveries for themselves of spiritual truth, and that's been very rewarding. If you want to help us, there are actually quite a number of ways. You could help us in our office administratively. We joke sometimes about, wouldn't it be nice to retire and work 40 hours a week? So we could use some assistance in administratively, office-type work, but also with the career development program to mentor people as they are investigating a career path for themselves. That would be really, really exciting.
Also in that same area, if somebody just wanted to volunteer one day for the mock interview or one evening, you could be a mock interviewer. So mm-hmm. the last class, we need people to come in and actually do a professional interview of these people like they're applying for a job. They have to get dressed up and they have to answer interview questions. And so we do them all in the same evening and they're videotaped. So it'd be nice to have people just volunteer to do that. And it's the same thing with the Say Yes Centers as being mm-hmm. a mentor. We actually have 3 centers that could use mentors right now. It's a maximum 1 adult to 5 children. And so the centers can't grow unless they have more adults there as mentors. And so they need to be born again Christians that are working with the children. And it's coming alongside the children and applying the principles from the Bible lesson, helping them with their homework, just, you know, being their friend, learning the child, learning about the child, and then helping them to grow to maturity.
If you have an interest in helping others to develop ministry of evangelism and discipleship, we would love to have you come involved and help mentor the people that we're training in Bakersfield, Greater Bakersfield. And that's those are really fun times.
And then be involved in our 2 Timothy 2:2 class where mm-hmm. you actually come and participate in the 8-week class and then help mentor others in that in the future. It's actually a lot of fun meeting people, you know, opening the doors to not only to the individuals that we're working with, but with their families and getting to know them and helping the whole family to change. And as the family changes, the community changes. So it's not just learning how to share your faith, but it's how to disciple, how to come alongside of people and help them to grow, to become mature in Christ, and then to pass it on to others. And to see that happen is really exciting.
And they mentioned boxes of love, and man, it's so awesome to see that and to bless them with that. And to see the, at least I believe Ken told me, 28 churches were involved in Bakersfield and giving out those boxes and building relationships with people. Amen. Pull out your bulletin if you have that bulletin there, and we'll just go ahead and pull this together and wrap this up. So blessed to have Don and Bev and Dave and John, and just so blessed to have this local ministries here and what that means to the community here, upstanding people that we love. These guys are real. You're going to have a chance to meet them, talk with them, and do that. And by honoring them, get out there. And I'm going to challenge you at the end of this service to do something that I think will bless them. Because he reached in, we need to reach out. Because he reached into our life, we need to reach out. Why do we do outreach? Why do we do outreach? It's commanded by God, commissioned by Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is, I believe, the heart of the heart of discipleship. It is an opportunity we can demonstrate up close and personal what Jesus wants us to do, to make disciples of disciples. It's about serving, and it's about service. No more time for excuses. You know, we have excuses for everything. No, I don't want to go. It's too late, too far. I don't know about that ministry. I found a quote by Benjamin Franklin. He said this: "He who is good at making excuses is seldom good for doing anything else." Ouch. We can collectively say, ouch. We are a global church, not just because we have a website, which is really cool and you need to go there, not just because we can give online, which is really cool, you need to do that. We're a global church because God put us on a global mission. And you have a verse right there at the top of your bulletin, Acts 1:8, and it says this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in both Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and even to the remote part of the earth." What's really interesting about that word, and we only have a couple minutes here, is the word witness there is the same word we use. Well, it's called martus. Martus in the Greek, martus. And turn to the person next to you and go, martus, martus. You're probably going, what is that? That's where we get our word martyr from. So when Jesus says, "You are my witnesses," you get a sense of what he was sending us out into. You will be my martyrs. That's interesting. We know the first Christian martyr was Stephen or Stephen, depending on how you want to pronounce it. So that we are his witnesses. We are going out. Dave is going out. John is going out. Bev is going out. Everybody's going out that are missionaries and volunteers are going out in Jesus' name to be his witnesses at the potential, we don't like to say this and think about this, being martyred. I mean, Jesus said it. And he says this: "In Jerusalem," which is our home church, "which is in Judea," which is the cities and communities around our home church, "and Samaria," which is basically cities and community around us that are culturally different than we are, and then for the most part, antagonistic against us. And that's a challenge. Remember, Jesus sent them right out into an area where they were being prosecuted. He says, "Now go, start here and go, share the gospel." And if you look at the map of Israel, and you find out that from Jerusalem to about Samaria was about 70 miles. Then he says, to the uttermost part of the earth. So the less than the distance between here and Los Angeles, those first missionaries, those first disciples went out. That was the known world. And so we have a great opportunity here to continue to reach out for those that love him. And I think we can do that in three ways. Three ways. How many ways? One, two, three ways. I'm going to give you three words that I think can help us to be more effective in our outreach. Number one, we can take a look at the first one. We are his witness when we gather and apply information because we desire to know him. And you can write down there Philippians 3:10. Information. We are replete with information. Information is everywhere. Facebook, Twitter, all these kinds of things on the news, and you can't trust half of it. But guess what? We can figure out what's going on by using discernment, using the Spirit, because there's information out there. And if we're seeking to learn about different ministries, like, for instance, if I went to look at Fellowship of Christian Athletes, they have a website. I know if we're over, we don't like getting on a website because, I don't know, I don't use computers. Well, figure out a way to do it because we can further the gospel of Christ. God is in control of all technology anyway. And so we can information, we can learn about different ministries, learn about different missionaries, find out about them, learn about them, talk to people about them, get reviews on them, find out people who volunteered. Information is such a key, and I think that'll help us be effective, but it's not the only thing. Number two, we are his witnesses when we visit because we are willing to grow in him. And Ephesians 3:21 fleshes that out. After we get information, we may need to take a trip and find out what's going on in this city. What's happening? What are the ministries that are doing what they say that they are doing? Fun Sports, where is that? I can't find that on the map. Where's Bridges? I've crossed the bridge, but I don't know what they're talking about. We got to visit some of these ministries and see them in action. And then you'll know if God is calling you to that particular one. And that's the last point there. We are his witness when we participate because we are willing to go with him. Matthew 28 talks about that. God will be, Jesus will, the Holy Spirit will be with us always. We are not going alone. Jesus didn't just drop us off and say, hey, I'll meet you there. No. He is going with us. We are going with him. So when we decide to participate in a particular ministry, but it may be the one, the four that presented here, or the eight that are out there on our patio, local ministries that we adopt, local ministries that we work with here in town, whether God has used you in that way, go for it. Get the right information, do some visitation, and then participate. And if we do that and continue to do that as a church body, I guarantee you, God will be blessed. Ministry, you know, David's talking about 30,000 Bibles. That'll be nothing compared to what God's going to do. You talk about coaches for Fun Sports. That'll be nothing. You talk about houses and having international students come. They'll be coming over here in droves. Think about that. We have international students coming to us to learn. That is cool. We don't have to go to Japan. But I'd like to go to Japan. But we don't have to go to Japan. They're coming here. Chinese are coming here. As a matter of fact, L.A. is one of the highest and the densest areas where multiple populations live. And they're becoming, L.A. is becoming the Middle East of the West. They're coming here. We have a great opportunity to reach out locally and do that. So I want to encourage you to do that. You're going to have some time afterwards to meet the ministry leaders out there, to meet these guys here, to meet our missionary team as well for putting all this together. But I want to tell you this. Serving locally because we believe globally, we make disciples to make disciples. And that is the point of it all. Whether we are here or whether we are there, we are making disciples to make disciples. So I want to encourage you to do that. And now here I want to show you something before we close today. And this is something, I really wasn't a good student in school because I didn't like school, didn't like much about school. But I like this. One of my math teachers had this in her classroom. And I didn't, it was Newton, Sir Newton, whoever he was. Well, anyway, you guys know what I'm going to do, right? Yeah, you're going to break it. No, I'm not. So watch this. Yeah. I know everybody's going to run out and get one. I don't even know what it's called. It's just every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Scientifically proven. So, for instance, if I do this, two of them. Isn't that cool? And it'll do that way until the energy stops. Well, this last question I have here for us, it says, does God's inreach into our lives reflect our outreach in his world? Does God's inreach into our lives reflect our outreach to his world? If every action has an equal and opposite reaction, how then are we to face local outreach? God has poured into us through his son, Jesus Christ. We pour into others. You heard four different people today, and they all start with the same thing, Jesus first. Jesus first. Because they recognize that God has poured into their lives. And when you meet the eight ministry leaders outside, they will tell you the same story. God has poured into their lives. So that question demands an application. What are we going to do? Or rather, I should say, what are we going to continue to do as we reach out? River Lakes has been placed on this corner for a really good reason, God's global mission. And we are doing a really great job, but there is more to do. Amen. Do we believe there's more to do? Amen. Do we believe we can do more? Amen. Do we believe we can do more? Yeah, we. Some of you guys are like, oh, I think we're there. Coffee in the lobby, I know. We can do more as a church. Amen? Amen. Hey, before we get out of here today, during our mission conference 3 months ago, we introduced some local missionaries. So during our outreach Sunday today, we're going to introduce to some local missionaries as well. And Dr. Trent and Vivian Hyatt, you guys are coming up. They're one of our longest, remember Don Urquhart knows is one of our youngest volunteers. These are one of our longest serving volunteers, and they were way back before I was even born, serving missionaries, I should say. Did I say volunteers? Missionaries. Missionaries serving. You guys were serving before I was born, right? Right? Because I was born in 1980.
Well, we began to be supported by Fruitvale at the time, Fruitvale Community Church. I think it was in 1971. And we left for Eastern Europe and Russia in 73, and we're still working in Eastern Europe and Russia. Wow. We did make a move back to the States when I turned over my role as the director for biblical and theological training to a somewhat younger man, which allowed me to focus more on research, study, and writing. But we still travel and still teach, just like we did when we did it from Budapest.
Wow. So you have stories that you told me last time that you can't say that you know about, but if we come to the meeting on Tuesday, we'll hear about them.
That's right. You will. It'll be a revelatory evening.
Revelatory. That's what it is. This guy, he won't tell you that he's really a smart guy, and he'll go over the history of the church and the condition of where we are right now.
A flying view. When I teach the history of the church, I usually get 22, 24 hours to do it, but I'll do it in about 45 minutes.
So you 24 hours into 45 minutes.
Yeah, so you have to think fast.
That's impossible for me to do.
So Tuesday evening here at the church, room 120 at 6:30, we will show some pictures and I'll share some thoughts and we'll interact with one another.
And so you guys start serving when?
Well, we started serving in 1967. We met in 68, married in 69, seminary for 4 years at Dallas, and then the rest of the time in Eastern Europe. So, yeah.
Anything you want to say about Eastern Europe right now?
Eastern Europe is still a place of turmoil. And if you've watched the news and seen the refugees pouring into these Eastern European countries, trying to get to Western European countries, you have a little bit of a feel of some of the turmoil, but there's a lot more.
Any words for local outreach here, what we can do as a community right here in Bakersfield, California? Dr. Trent.
Well, I love the idea that you put up making disciples who make disciples. We call that multiplication. So you get involved with a person and build into that person so that he can build into another person. And you can reach Bakersfield and beyond.
And beyond. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Vivian. These guys are awesome. So you're invited to next Tuesday at 6:30? Right? Is there going to be food?
Yes.
I'm just asking. Yeah, I can't really do much else. Hey, three things to effectively serve here: information, visitation, and participation. Find out where God is leading you. Find out your gifts. Find out that many of people have been serving, but we want the entire body. Right? Is Pastor Steve here? Steve, we want 100%. I didn't say this in the last service. 100% of River Lakes people volunteering in some fashion. Is that right? Is that right? So it's a commandment from Pastor Steve that 100% of you and us will volunteer somewhere, be discipled, get in a home group. All those things matter because the mission, the global mission God gives us, it matters. Hey, I want to challenge you. As you go out, I told the last service this. When you go out there, there'll be eight other ministry leaders out there. They have a lot of information. Take it all. Take their information from them. It's one sad thing to have these guys come here with all this information, go. Take all the information, learn from them, and then commit to visit one of or two of them, and then participate with one or two or all of them if God is leading you. Amen? You guys have a good day. Thank you.